Hey, did you just blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Anyway, that's the topic, the title of today's Daily Dose. We're going to start though with forgiveness. Forgiveness and God, they just seem to go together. When I think of the greatest forgiveness I've ever received, I think of the forgiveness God has shown me. And I'm reminded of Micah 7 verses 18 and 19 that say, "Who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." Amazing. Folks, that's some serious forgiveness. And this level of forgiveness, it's found in Christ Jesus today. But then we run across this passage of Scripture that's spoken by Jesus himself. It's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. And Jesus says these words. He says, "Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin." Wow, that's a serious, it's a definitive statement just made by the Savior himself, the Savior of the world. This just came out of the mouth of Jesus. Whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They're guilty of an eternal sin. Look, I can understand why what Jesus says here seems kind of to frustrate many Christians and even theologians. And obviously, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is a serious sin and something that no sincere follower of Christ would ever want to do. So this had created a lot of argument and speculation in the body of Christ. What does it really mean? What's really involved with blaspheming the Holy Spirit? And here's what's great. Jesus, right here in the context of this scripture, in the Gospel of Mark, he's given us insight that we need, all that we need, so that we can understand what he's actually talking about, what he's saying. See, the understanding, the insight's found when we kind of back up a bit. You know, sometimes we need to do that in life, just kind of, whoa, back away. Back up a little bit, and when we look at this contextually, see, when we read Mark chapter 3, not just a couple verses, but when we read all the way from verse 20 through verse 30, it becomes clearer. See, just before Jesus warns against blaspheming the Holy Spirit, he's accused of being possessed by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So the teachers of the Jews, of the law, they were attributing Jesus' powerful act of casting out demons to the devil instead of giving the credit to the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, God was moving in a different way through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the religious people of the day didn't recognize it. And they couldn't explain it. And so what did they do? Foolishly and dangerously, they attributed the work of God to demons. And in doing this, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They were essentially calling the works of the Holy Spirit demonic. And that sounds like a serious issue, something that only, frankly, hopefully only ignorant or obstinate people would do. But it's hard to believe, yet there are many people today, especially all over the internet, that are very casually and very quickly doing this very same thing, all in the name of Jesus, right? They hear a minister, they hear a church or a fellow Christian describing how they believe God has moved in their gathering with healings, with prophecy, or with miraculous signs, tongues, interpretations, and wonders. And then without even firsthand knowledge of even being there, they instantly attribute that experience that other church, that other pastor, that other believer had, they attribute it to something other than the Holy Spirit. They just automatically go there. And often, they even directly say that it's demonic. They do the very thing these religious leaders, These religious people that Jesus rebuked, they do the same thing that they do. They call the divine work of the Holy Spirit demonic, or some call it strange fire. All I can say to this is, look out. That's some dangerous ground that you're treading. However, I think about these self-proclaimed experts. They believe that they understand how God does things and how He moves and how He doesn't move. They believe that they're taking the high road when they criticize the move of the Holy Spirit in another church gathering. They believe that they're, quote, protecting the church from heresy. However, they're actually the ones who are walking in heresy. They're errantly and they're pridefully leading the church into error as they are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. By the way, you know, I think much of their reaction to the move of the Holy Spirit in these supernatural ways is because of fear. Fear of being out of control. After all, if God really shows up, if He shows up supernaturally, then these control freak Christians, they're not in control. Then they have to admit that God is God and that He is other than, and they don't have it all figured out and they can't put God in a box, and oh no, it's a fear thing. It's also a power thing for them too. Look, I'm not saying that people don't abuse the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit, and in very rare cases, even some people make things up or at times just miss it altogether. I'm also not saying that Satan doesn't masquerade as an angel of light. Come on, it says that he does do that and he will do that. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But we must remember that God moves in the marvelous and in the miraculous, in the supernatural, in mysterious ways. So a lot of care, a lot of spiritual maturity, insight, and I'm going to say humility must be taken, and clarity must be present in order to not attribute the move of the Holy Spirit to demons. And so, yes, we need to caution. We need to proceed with caution in these areas. But the caution, in my opinion, really first and foremost should be a caution to not blaspheme God, to not attribute what God is doing to demons, to Satan. Let God be God. And welcome His move and embrace His ways. So I encourage you with these words from the Apostle Paul. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. It says this, the Apostle Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. And then we're going to jump down to verse 39 that says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. And to that I say, amen and amen and amen. Be blessed. Let God be God in your life. Stay in His Word. Stay in His presence. And enjoy worshiping Him in spirit and in truth.